You turn with me again, please, to the book of Genesis, to the chapter 13. Our text this morning is the verses 3 and 4 of Genesis chapter 13. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for this opportunity to praise thy name. Come aside from the cares of the world that we might meet in thy presence. We ask that as we gather here that thy Holy Spirit might come and bring the word of God to bear upon our souls. That we might not simply sit and listen to a message that has been prepared by a preacher. But we ask that thy Holy Spirit will bring a message to our hearts directly from the Lord himself. Speak to us, we pray. Give us hearing ears, we ask. Give us obedient hearts. And we pray that in all things that thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be glorified. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. In Genesis chapter 13, we find the patriarch Abraham, then called Abram, going back to Bethel. Verse 3 describes it as the place where his tent had been at the beginning. And for Abram, going back to Bethel was not a difficult decision. It was, however, a necessary one. In reality, Bethel was the place that he ought to have been all along. Abram's story at the close of chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13 is a reminder to us that at times God's people can get off track. It's a reminder to us that we can find ourselves away from the Lord and in places and doing things that we should never have been and never should have been doing. And what our text this morning teaches us is that there are times that we need to get back to that right place and right relationship with the Lord. And the good news, of course, is this, that we can go back. Even after we have been unfaithful to the Lord, we find that the Lord Jesus is ever faithful toward us. And he offers forgiveness and restoration to all who come back. When we have gone astray, when we have got in that wrong place with God, how glad we are to read in the Scriptures that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive. Let's follow Abram's story in our text this morning. See what he can teach us about getting back to our Bethel. Getting back to that place that we need to be before we went astray. And I want you to notice firstly what Abram came back from. There in the opening verse of chapter 13, we read this statement. Abram went up out of Egypt. Now that phrase contains for us more than just a geographical detail. In leaving Egypt, Abram was leaving behind not just a place, but an experience. And an experience that taught him some lessons about himself and about his God. Egypt had been an unfaithful detour in Abram's journey. He had been called to follow God. He had left his homeland. He was to go to a land that God had promised to him, but he has taken a wrong turn. And he finds himself in the land of Egypt in an experience that he ought never to have been in. And of course, we are reminded that we too take wrong turns at times. There are times that we have gotten away from God and from the place that he would have us to be. And we have taken those detours into Egypt. And when we consider Abram's experience in Egypt, and what it is that he is coming back from on his way to Bethel, we notice that he's coming back from a time of personal failure. In Genesis chapter 12, Abram's response to the famine in the land of Canaan was to pack up his belongings, his wife and all of his possessions, and to head down to the land of Egypt in search of food. I believe that this was the first mistake that Abram made. You see, God had called him to the land of Canaan, and God had promised to bless him in that land. He said unto Abram, he said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and I'll bless thee, and I'll make you a blessing. And rather than believing the promises of God at the first sign of trouble, at the first hint of a famine, rather than believing the promises of Jehovah, Moses sets out seeking his own way and his own direction, and instead of following the word of God, he follows his own wisdom. He makes up his own mind. And he goes to a place that God had not told him to go to. He goes to Egypt. And while he is in Egypt, Abram not only acted outside of the will of God, he also acted opposite to the very character of God. Our God is a God of truth. And Abram in Egypt, well, he's telling lies. He's lying about his relationship to Sarah, his wife. He's not only backslidden from God himself, but now he's seeking to convince his wife to do the same. To tell Pharaoh and the men of Egypt that I'm his sister, not his wife. The whole experience of Abram in Egypt is just a fiasco. It's a sad scene in the life of a man whom James the Apostle describes as a friend of God. And while Abram's failure in Egypt is a sad experience, it's nevertheless important for us to study and to consider, because it reminds us that even the greatest of God's servants were prone to wander and prone to leave the God they loved. And if Abraham, the friend of God and the father of the faithful, could find himself away from God, then so can you and I. The Bible tells us very clearly that we are to take heed, lest thinking that we stand, that we actually fall. Abraham's experience in Egypt reminds us that we are prone to wander. And it reminds us that though we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not yet sinless. And I know there's a body of Christians that believe in sinless perfection, and that through their efforts in this life that they can attain to a holiness, which means they will never sin upon earth. I don't believe it. I've never experienced it. I've never seen it. In fact, I believe the Bible teaches otherwise. Until we enter glory and are transformed into the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will feel the Lord. We will sin. We have failure in our lives. And we see Abram here slinking out of Egypt, his head down in shame. He has been rebuked by Pharaoh. reminded of the times that we have failed the Lord. And we have done those things that are contrary to His will and to His word. And we have been to those places that are outside of the Lord's remit for our lives. And this opening part of chapter 13 shows us Abram returning from a time of personal failure. What's surprising, however, is that we see him returning from a time of providential favor. We are surprised when we read verse 2 of chapter 13 that Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. From a monetary standpoint, from a material view, Egypt had been a rewarding experience for Abram. Pharaoh had bestowed upon him many gifts in exchange for Sarah, who he believed was his sister. The reality is, however, that these blessings that Abram returns with are nothing more or less than the grace of God upon his life, in spite of the fact that he has gone astray. And Abram realizes this, he understands this, that's why he headed back to Bethel. He knows that he does not deserve these blessings that he has received. He knows that these blessings mean nothing if he cannot enjoy them in the presence of God. In chapter 12, when the famine arose, Abram left Canaan. But our trouble should not cause us to turn from the Lord, but to turn to Him. What's interesting is the same word is used to describe the famine in Canaan as to describe the riches that Abram has when he returns from Egypt. You'll notice in verse 12 that the famine is described as being a grievous famine there in verse 10. It was a grievous famine that was in the land. And that's the same word that's translated very rich in verse 2 of chapter 13. It's the same Hebrew word. They both mean heavy. The famine was heavy in the land, and Abram came back heavy with cattle and silver and gold. And that surely tells us that in Abram's experience, and indeed in our own, that even though the trial may be heavy, so too will the blessings be when we return to the Lord. The Lord has promised to restore to us the years that the locusts have eaten. Unfortunately, sometimes when we are blessed by the Lord, we are given these material blessings, we become more concerned with them than we do with the God who gives them. Our experience should be that of Abraham's, but when we recognize that we have received these blessings, even though we are not worthy of them, that they should drive us to our knees at the foot of the Lord. We should thank Him for that prosperity, and to recognize that every blessing and every good and every perfect gift has come down from our Father of lights. Our blessings are reason to seek God just as much as our burdens are. We know that when we're burdened, that we ought to run to the Lord and pray to Him, but do you run to God and pray when you're blessed? To thank Him for His gifts. Abram, coming out of Egypt, is coming from a time of personal failure, and yet coming by God's grace into a time of favor. And both of these experiences taught him his need for God. The burdens and the blessings brought him back God. So while we've looked at what Abraham came from, I want you to notice where he came to. And back in Genesis 12 and verse 9, We read that Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. In fact, he went too far south. He ended up in Egypt. He went much further than what he ought to have done. And once his lie had been exposed, and he was forced to leave Egypt behind, where could he go to? Certainly not back to Ur of the Chaldees. He had left that place forever. He went on his journeys, verse 3 tells us, from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. So he comes from Egypt, from the place of failure, and he comes to Bethel, the place that he had been to before. Now, Bethel is a significant place in the life of Abram. And it's a place that he needs to return to, having gone too far south and out of the will of God. In reality, this is the place that he ought to have remained all along. Onto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. And Abram first came to the land of Canaan. He spent a little time in Shechem, and there the Lord promised to give him the land, to him and to his descendants. Then eventually he set his tent upon the mountain just east of Bethel, and there we are told that Abram built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 12 and verse 8. He had followed God out of Ur of the Chaldees, followed him based upon the promise that God would show him where he was supposed to be. God brought him to Bethel. Abram, this is the land. Here is the place of promise. Here is the place of blessing. Abram, this is the place that I want you to be. Bethel. And he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. God had said nothing about going to Egypt. And when Abram left that place of failure behind, where should he go to? In his little letter, the Apostle Jude makes a very interesting statement in the verse 21. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. When we are saved, the Lord Jesus calls us to himself, and we live in his love and in love with him. And while his love never changes toward us, there are times that our love grows weak and faint. And we leave that first love. We were reminded of what the Lord said to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and 4. Thou hast left thy first love. And then he gives them these instructions. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember where you once were. Remember where the place of blessing was, and repent and do the first works. Keep yourself in the love of God. Remain in the place where he has put you and called you to. Remember the place of blessing. Get back to it again. When you get off track with God, remember where you came from. Remember where the Lord blessed you. Get back to that place. And Abram came back to the place that he was in the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, onto the place of the altar. So Abram leaves Egypt behind, and he heads back again to Bethel, to the place where he had built the altar, where he had called upon God, where he had worshipped and communed with God in the midst of a land filled with idolaters and pagans. Get back to the place where you worship me. Get back to Bethel. We don't read of Abram building any altars in Egypt. There's no mention of him worshipping the Lord in that land. God has been forgotten in Egypt. He needs to get back to Bethel. He He needs to get back to the place where God had been a reality in his life. To get back to the place where the altar was to be found. To get back to the place where worship was carried out. That place where he ought to have continued all along. You know, one of the ways that you can tell whether or not you've gotten off track with God is to simply ask yourself the question whether or not you enjoy that fellowship and communion with God as you once did. Are you as close to God today as what you ever were before? Or are we further away from God today than what we were at some time in our past experience? You know what that means? We are backslidden. We have slidden back from where we once were. We are not as close to God or enjoy His presence or worship Him as freely and as lovingly as what we once did. We have slid back. We are backslidden. Are we spending time in prayer? Do we kneel before the Lord to seek His face? Or do we need to get back to the place of the altar? The little hymn says, "How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through?" How long has it been? How long has it been since you were at the altar, truly worshiping God, truly in communion with Him? You can tell by your prayer life. You can tell by your devotional life. How long has it been since you read the Scriptures and rejoiced in them as God spoke to you through His Word? Or has it long been a dry, dusty time when you read the Scriptures and you think, well, I didn't get anything, and you close it and you go away and you forget about what you've read? Oh, for that place of sweet communion before the altar of God where we call upon His name. And if you fear this morning that you have taken a wrong turn somewhere in your Christian life, then simply ask yourself, how long has it been since I was in the practice of worshiping and communing and talking with the Lord? And say, I need to get back there. I need to get back to that place. That place where I ought to have been all along. Back to that altar that I never should have left. So there's the place that he came from. Time of failure in Egypt. There's the place that he needs to get to. The place of worship at Bethel before the altar. But notice thirdly and finally, the person he came for. Going back to Bethel as a location will do nothing for Abram. It's getting back to the God of Bethel that makes the difference. Bethel is the place where the altar was built. But it's not the altar that he's looking for. It's the Lord that he called upon while he was there. So Abram, as he goes back, is looking not so much for something as for someone. Bethel and the altar that he built there were only a means of getting in touch with God. And in much the same way, when we get off track with God, yes, it's important to get back to the place of worship and the place of prayer and the place where the Bible is read and preached. That's important that we find ourselves in the right place. But what is more important is that we get back in fellowship with the one that we have left, the Lord Himself. Coming to church, coming to the Bible study, coming to the prayer times, those are not the end in themselves. They are the means toward the end, which is restoring fellowship with the God from whom you have walked away from. And as Abram comes back to Bethel, he was coming back not to a place, but to the God that he called upon previously. Verse 4 of our text tells us, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. There is a God that he could call upon. Abram called upon God. What made the Lord God Jehovah so different from all of the idols of Ur of the Chaldees and all of the false gods of Egypt? What made the Lord so different? He is a God who could be called upon. And Abram knew that his God could hear him when he called. Your God is one with wood or stone or indeed of gold or silver. You can pray all day to it, but it will never hear you. Yours is a God of your own making and imagination. He will never answer your prayers. But when you come before the God of heaven and call on his name, he hears and he answers. And we serve the same God that Abram did. And we do so through his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon him. And we are assured that he will answer us when we call. Thou child of God, if you have gotten away from the Savior and you realize that you need to get back to that place where you can call upon him again, then listen to what he says in his word. Call unto me and I will answer thee. You're not going to get a better promise than that. Isaiah reminds us that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. If you've been away from the Lord, like Abraham was, and you set your heart to seek him again, you can rest assured that he is already listening. He will hear your cry. And coming back to Bethel, Abram was coming to the God that he could call upon. And more than that, the God he could count upon. Abram called on the name of the Lord. That's the third time that that little phrase is found in the Scriptures. To call upon the name of the Lord. The first time is in Genesis 4. And it's in reference to the descendants of Seth, who were the first to call upon the name of the Lord. The second time we find it is in chapter 12. When Abram first came to Bethel, he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, in chapter 13, back at Bethel once more, he's calling upon the name of the Lord again. What does it mean? What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, let's look at it in its context. The word that's translated Lord here in verse 4, and you'll notice that the word is written all in capitals. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means, in the Hebrew, it's the word Jehovah. When you see the word Lord written in capitals, it's the Hebrew word Jehovah. Jehovah is the covenant name of God. It's the name by which he reveals himself and his promises to his people. It's the name by which God revealed himself to Abram when he promised to bless him and make him a blessing. So Abraham is calling out to the God who has covenanted with him and promised to bless him and to use him. And you can picture Abram kneeling down in the dirt in front of that altar that he has built, and the tears are streaming down his face as he looks towards heaven and says, Lord, I know I have been unfaithful to you, and I repent of my sins. Lord, I believe that you are the one true and living God, and I call upon your faithfulness in spite of my unfaithfulness. Going back to Bethel, calling upon the Lord, Abraham is saying, Lord, I can count on your faithfulness, even though mine has failed. Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Jehovah, the Lord who saves, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only can we call upon Him, but we can count upon Him. His love is constant. And though we fail Him often, He has never and will never fail us. We can count upon our God. Abraham's experience in Egypt reminds us that we are prone to wander. In our journey following the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we get off track. John Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress speaks of Christian walking in bypath meadows, leaving the place where he ought to have been. Here in Genesis 13 we find Abram getting back to that place again, to that place of restored peace and fellowship with God. And if that's our desire this morning, there is that opportunity available to us to cease from our wanderings and going as astray, to get to the cross, to get back upon our knees before God, to call upon, to seek His blessing. That gospel that we first believed, that saved us from our sins, proclaims to us that there is forgiveness and grace in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness not just for the first time that we came to the foot of the cross, but forgiveness every time we come. To get back to Bethel, the house of God, to the worship of God, to God Himself. So we find ourselves like Abram, away from that place that we need to be, and away from the person that we need to be with, the Lord. May He give us grace to call upon Him this morning and to know His favor once again in our lives.